finding myself at a loss for words. And the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak.
Hello again, and welcome to Thine Word is a Lamp. This is the day that the Lord has made. Today is indeed a good day of the Lord. My name is Minika, and I'm so happy to be with you as we read and study God's Word. We will continue with the book of Psalms. As I said earlier, Psalms are songs. Psalms are worship, psalms are poetry to God, and psalms are prayer. The psalms reveal, on one hand, God's character, his loving kindness, his plan for history, his acts in history, and on the other hand, they reveal Israel's loyalty, faith, emotions, worries, sins, confessions, and pleas directed to God. So for the next few days, we will enter into the experience of the Psalms. Our focus today is on chapter 3. And I will be reading today from the New Living Translation. So get your Bibles out, grab a cup of coffee, and let's dive into the reading of God's Word. Psalm 3 from the New Living Translation. O Lord, I have so many enemies. So many are against me. So many are saying God will never rescue him. But you, O Lord, are a shield around me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain. I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Arise, O Lord, rescue me, my God. Slap all my enemies in the face. Shatter the teeth of the wicked. Victory comes from you, O Lord. May you bless your people. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. And so Psalm 3 is a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Absalom started a coup to overthrow his father and to take over the kingdom. The historical background of this psalm is described in 2 Samuel chapters 15 to 18. So please take some time to read these chapters, so that you get the full picture of what David is trying to say in this psalm. Now, this psalm intermingles both lament, which means despair or anguish or struggle, as well as confidence and peace. It demonstrates a pattern for praise, for peace, for prayer, amidst pressure that we can all learn from. David shares to us his secrets of having assurance in the face of adversity. David also demonstrates a hope in the midst of fear and hopelessness. If, and only if, our focus is in the right place. Now, David is fleeing for his life as his son Absalom, a young man of contempt, seeks what is not his and seeks to take his own father's life. Yet all David could do, as we see and have read in this psalm, is to pray that his son's life be saved. And this models for us a trust in God, even in times of dire stress and chaos. Now, Psalm 3 is divided into three parts. The first part, which is Psalms 3, chapters 1 and 2, talks about his predicament. So we see here that David is in a great deal of trouble. His own son led what seems, or what appears to be, a successful rebellion against him. So David was conspired against, he was rebelled against, and he fled for his life before Absalom and his army. But David knew God. He knew his God, Yahweh Elohim. And he knew him not only in doctrine, but he had a personal relationship with him. He depended on Yahweh, who was his shield, who was his glory, and who was his sustainer. He prayed to, believed, and praised the Lord for the anticipated personal deliverance and blessings. David's sentiment previews Paul's sentiments in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12, which says, "I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him." Let's break it down a little further. Now we see in chapters 1 and 2 that David's enemy, led by his son, have increased in number, have increased in boldness, and have increased in ridicule. The physical and verbal attacks challenge David's faith, just as they would our faith. David is God's anointed king, and so these conspirators are also challenging God. David's own people gave their pledges and loyalty to Absalom, whose heart was so prideful and whose intentions were so skewed. This was a betrayal to King David. Is it not amazing how people easily turn around and betray you? Is it not amazing how people who are just mere mortals conclude that you are a lost case and beyond help, even from God? But how does David handle this crisis? Was his response led by fear? And I ask us this question: how do we handle attacks by other people? Today in our society, you can easily alienate those around you by professing your Christian faith. I mean, in today's world, it's not a popular thing to be a true believer in the Word of God. So how do we handle friends? How do we handle colleagues? How do we handle neighbors that behave this way towards us? How do we handle betrayal? Let's move on to the second section of this psalm, which talks about his peace. And we can see this in chapters 3 to 6. This section focuses on a song of praise and a prayer of peace against all the odds. It says in verse 3 and 4, "But you, O Lord, are a shield for me. You are my glory, the one who holds my head high. I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain." Verse 3 talks about protection. David expresses his complete confidence in his Lord Yahweh when he calls Yahweh his shield, his glory, and the one who lifts his head. His shield about me. What is a shield? A shield is carried by a soldier for defense. Now, this shield is a separation around David that protects him. Yahweh is David's protection, as Yahweh is our protection, protection for all believers who trust him. With God as one's shield, no one else is needed. This gives us the image of a God who protects us. Now, I'd like you to note that David was not praying this. He was not asking God to be his shield. Rather, David was making a strong declaration of fact. I'd like us to be reminded by this scripture in Deuteronomy 33 and verse 29. It says, "How blessed you are, O Israel! Who else is like you, a people saved by the Lord? He is your protecting shield and your triumphant sword. Your enemies will cringe before you, and you will stomp on their backs." In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5, it says, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to all who come to him for protection." David calls Yahweh my glory. The Lord Yahweh provided David with his royal status. David has glory because God has given him glory before people. Now, Paul wrote this in the first book of Corinthians, chapters 15 and verse 10, and in the second book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 9 to 10. It says, "Men find glory in all sorts of things. Men find glory in fame. Men find glory in power. Men find glory in prestige or in their possessions. But David found his glory in the Lord." David describes Yahweh as the one who lifts his head. To lift up one's head is to encourage him. And this gives David the confidence that God chose him to be king, and therefore he will continue to be king. David will not have the kingship torn from him by rebellion of man, because God works through his vessels until the task is finished. Now we say in verse 4, David prays. It says, "I cried out to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy mountain." David prayed to Yahweh, and he answered. Now, David, though he sinned by actions and attitudes, nevertheless, he loved Yahweh and he trusted him. He knew how to pray, and he knew how to pray with faith. People mocked that God wanted nothing to do with David. But David could gloriously say, "He heard me." The Bible says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, his holy mountain refers to Jerusalem, the place where God installed both the ark and David as king. Jerusalem, the earthly symbol of his throne and of his covenant. The mountain was a place where God's glory resided in a unique way. Now, David knew that God's glorious presence was in that holy place. It did not mean that he was inaccessible or unconcerned or absent. God always hears the cries of his people. How beautiful it is for God to hear our prayer and answer. An answered prayer is a joy indeed. Now we see in verses 5 and 6, peace. It says, I lay down and slept, yet I woke up in safety, for the Lord was watching over me. I am not afraid of 10,000 enemies who surround me on every side. Peace. David had a peaceful sleep because he knew that Yahweh supported him. We see in the Psalms that David slept and slept peacefully. We see the fact that he had every confidence in the Lord that led him to sleep peacefully. He knew that he had done all he could when he prayed. He also believed that God had protected him and answered his prayer. This sleep, I tell you, was not a disturbing sleep, but it was total rest. David used his time wisely without worry. What does sleep do? Sleep restores physically, restores mentally, and restores emotionally. One cannot get restful sleep when worried or when you are on guard. But David knew something about the character and faithfulness of God, and his sleep was a blessing. Because David was under so much intense pressure from Absalom's rebellion that sleep or the thought of sleep might have been impossible. But yet, he says he slept. Now, waking was another blessing because many wondered if David could sleep to see a new day. You see, God sustains us in our sleep, but we take it for granted. Think about this. When you're asleep, you're unconscious, you're dead to the world, yet you breathe, yet your heart pumps, your organs operate, your blood flows. Have you thought about how you breathe when you are asleep? Have you thought about that? You're not conscious of it. He causes you to breathe while you sleep. The same God who sustains us in our sleep, the same God who causes us to breathe, who keeps our heart pumping, who keeps our blood flowing, who keeps our organs in operation. He is the same God that will sustain us in our difficulties. You see, one with God is always a majority. So we have nothing to fear if God is on our side. In Psalm 51, in verses 5 to 7, it says, "Do not be afraid of the terrors of the night, nor of the arrows that flies in the day. Do not dread the disease that stalks in darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. Though 1,000 fall at your side, though 10,000 are dying around you, these evils will not touch you." Let us put our confidence in the God who, even while we sleep, sustains us. Now, verses 7 and 8 shifts into another phase of praise. David concludes a final plea coupled with praise for deliverance and blessings on Yahweh's people. Salvation belongs to the Lord, and David understood that salvation, both in the ultimate and immediate sense, was God's property. It isn't the property of any man. Salvation is not the property of a man. It is not the property of a nation. It is not the property of a sect. But salvation is of the Lord. To be saved, one must deal with the Lord himself. What Jesus Christ does now is to purchase our soul through his blood, which gives us redemption. Our salvation comes to us free, without strings or merit. However, what it cost God is immeasurable. So what's in it for us? What is this psalm saying to us? Are you feeling overwhelmed? Are you feeling angry? Are you feeling frustrated? Are you worried? Are you anxious? Is life crashing down upon you with so many enemies that have converged and are fighting against you? Are people gossiping about you or conspiring against you? Are people mocking you? Are people wishing that you would fail? So what do you do? What do you want to do? Do you want to give up? Or do you want to allow God to be your trust, to be your focus, to be your shield of protection? Do you want to allow him to rescue and to save you? There are times when life seems to fall apart. There are times we feel that our lives have fallen apart. But today, I need you to realize that our hope is in Christ Jesus, not in our circumstance and not in our worries. Psalm 3 gives us a pattern of what to do when we are attacked by others. First of all, recognize the attack or the problem. That's number one. Number two, trust the Lord God for who he is and what he can do. And then pray to him. And then experience his peace. Why? Because you trust in him. And also remember to praise him. When life feels like it is falling apart, you must know who God is and how to lay hold of him in prayer. God is on our side. Yahweh Elohim is on our side. He is stronger, he is smarter than any adversary. And he is the one we should go to in any trouble. Because he is your shield and he will lift you up. So cry out to God. Plead your case to him. Allow him to take your burdens, for he will answer you. Rest in his arm. Be safe in him, for he is your protector. He watches over you, and he loves you deeply and truly. So trust in him. Allow him to be your safety and your Lord. Let your comfort come from knowing that God surrounds you. Now, the world may say that the Lord cannot, or the Lord will not, or the Lord has not, or the Lord is not able to. But I tell you that deliverance belongs to the Lord. Ask God to act and rescue you. Allow your worries to be put away and allow him to surround you, to impact you, and to sustain you. Be confident in the Lord and know that he can help and will help. He can and will help. When you lay hold of the Lord in prayer, you will experience his peace. That peace that passes all understanding. You're probably asking or wondering, can we sleep? Can I sleep in time of trouble like David did? Yes. Yes, you can. Yes, we can. It is the same God. It's the God that changes not. The God who is the same. It is the same God. Let's make knowledge, faith, and thankful praise our everyday lifestyle. You see, David turned this horrible experience of betrayal, of emotional pain, into a song of praise. This teaches us that God can use our worst trials to deepen our trust in him and to produce praises that will encourage his people. Whether it's a minor crisis or whether life is falling apart at the seams, if Jesus is your high priest, you have access through his blood to the same prayer-hearing God who rescued David. Even in Christ, even if the crisis is the result of your own sin, just humble yourself before him in repentance. Humble yourself before him and pray with faith, and he will exalt you at the proper time. The second book of Corinthians, chapter 4 and verses 8 and 9 says, and please listen, it says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We are knocked down, but we are not destroyed. I'd like you to keep this scripture in your heart. And I pray that this scripture ministers to you and encourages you to fight the good fight of faith. Jesus Christ in us is the hope of glory. So I charge you with this today. Be strong. Be encouraged and be lifted. God bless you for listening. If you have a prayer request, you can email me at thineword is a lamp@gmail.com. I'll say that again. thineword is a lamp@gmail.com. And I will be praying for you. And so today we end today's broadcast. Join me next time and have a wonderful and a blessed day. My name is Minika. Over and out. God bless you.
Finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise, all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice, word of God speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes? Your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your home.